one more time. So we know that the Torah is very high on celebrations and commemorations. Lots of different mitzvahs pertain to things that we do at specific times of year that relate to different holidays, chagim, different mitzvahs that we perform on those holidays. We know again, one more time, very first mitzvah that Am Yisrael was ever given was HaChodesh HaZelachem. Very first mitzvah is to say that this is going to be the first month. Then you'll have another month and another month. Kiddush HaChodesh. What does Kiddush HaChodesh do? It effectively creates a luach. It creates a calendar. If you have a calendar, why is that so critical? Why is it so important? Why should that be the very first mitzvah? If you don't have a calendar, you don't know when you're supposed to celebrate or commemorate things. HaKadosh Baruch was about to give the Jewish people all these different mitzvahs that relate to Pesach. This is a couple of parshios ago. He can't do that without a calendar. There's no framework. There's no vessel to hold those mitzvahs if it's not clear what date they're supposed to be happening on. So the Torah is very, very high on this. Is a great fan, so to speak, of celebrations, commemorations, and mitzvahs that pertain to them. What is so remarkable then, fast forwarding to this week's parsha, where we have not only a really important event, but the single most critical important event in all of Jewish history, probably in all of human history, is Matan Torah, giving of the Torah. What's so remarkable in the context of considering the first mitzvah of the Torah is that we are never given a date. We don't know based on the Torah. We don't know from the psukim themselves when Kabbalas HaTorah, when Maimon Har Sinai actually takes place. Ever think about that? How bizarre is that? We know exactly the day that we leave Mitzrayim. We know exactly the night that they have the first Seder. And it's true, you can surmise, you can count the days until Har Sinai, but nothing explicitly in the Torah. How do we know when Maimon Har Sinai actually takes place? Nowhere in Torah Shebichsav, no psukim, we know only because of Torah Shebaal Peh. We have a Mesorah, we have Torah Shebaal Peh, it is alluded to, we derive Gemara and Shabbos that makes an attempt at deciphering when exactly Maimon Har Sinai really takes place. We know that we have Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer brings us, but nothing explicitly in the text of the Torah itself, only through Torah Shebaal Peh. Listen to this idea. Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch says, that is exactly the point. It's exactly the point. If we only have Torah Shebichsav, if we only have the written Torah, then we'll have no means of knowing when Matan Torah actually took place. We'll have no means of being able to actually celebrate the giving of the Torah. Why is this, Rosh Hashanah Rav Arsh? Because without Torah Shebaal Peh, there is nothing to celebrate. It's only through the vehicle of Torah Shebaal Peh that we even learn when we're supposed to celebrate, when we're supposed to commemorate, when Matan Torah actually happened, because only through Torah Shebaal Peh is it actually worthwhile to celebrate in the first place. Now, why is it? So Rosh Hashanah Rav Arsh says as follows. He explains, give you his explanation, and then I'll give you a thought of my own. He says very, very simply, Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebaal Peh is not only meaningless, it's actually dangerous. If we were given only the Torah in written form, we would not know what to do with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never do such a thing. That's not the system that he devised. Because if you look at many psukim of the Torah, when taken on their own, without oral explanation, interpretation, mesorah, and the like, it becomes impossible to actually fulfill. It's contradictory, it contradicts itself, it contradicts our basic values, it's impossible to understand and to make sense of. It only makes sense, it only becomes an actual system that we can live by and abide by with Torah Shebaal Peh. So Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch says very, very simply, what the Torah is trying to remind us of is that if you want to be able to celebrate the receiving of the Torah, you cannot. The Torah forces you to not only celebrate the giving and the receiving of Torah Shebichsav, you have to also celebrate Torah Shebaal Peh, because we only know of the date of the giving of the Torah through Torah Shebaal Peh. So Rav Hirsch says, I want to tack on one small nekuda to this, which is as follows. Torah Shebichsav also is a dry system. Torah Shebichsav, you might say, is static. It is given, these are the words, and that's it. Period, end of story. Dvar Hashem can't be moved, can't be altered. Nothing to debate It's not a question of does it say this or does it not say this. Debate and thought and processing and creativity and machlokes and all of the kinds of things that human beings, that we as Talmidim of the Torah engage in, it's all through Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh is the interface. Torah Sheba'al Peh is what beckons us to actually get involved. It's what invites us to use our own thinking, our own seichel, our own das, our own ability, our own creativity to try to explore, understand, make relevant, make resonate everything that the Torah has to offer. It's why the difference between Gemara and, let's say, Chumash, and when I say Chumash, I mean Mamish, Mamish, Chumash, not even Rashi and Ramban and Mefarshim, that's already Torah Sheba'al Peh. That's interpretation. That's trying to breathe life and understanding. Purely, purely Chumash, the Pesukim themselves, as opposed to Gemara, think about how much machlokas exists in different opinions and there are different ways of looking at it. And you can say this and you can say that. You turn it this way. You explain it that way. There's a Rav and there's a Shmuel. There are different ways of understanding the Mishnah. Does the Mishnah mean this? Does the Mishnah mean that? That entire pursuit and that entire conversation takes place only within Torah Sheba'al Peh. What that means effectively is that Torah Sheba'al Peh becomes the aspect of Torah that offers a relationship. Torah Shebichsav, written Torah, again, it's static. It stays put. It is what it is. This is the Dvar Hashem. Immobile, doesn't move, and it just remains where it is. These are the words of Hashem, period, end of story. Torah Sheba'al Peh invites a relationship. Torah Sheba'al Peh says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to take Torah, and I want it to be filtered through your thinking. I want it to be filtered through your eyes, through your brains, through your thought processes. And by the way, all the while, it also helps to change and helps to shape our thought processes when you run Torah through it. It's sort of like a filter, but it's sort of like laundering. On the one hand, we're supposed to make sense of Torah through our own minds, through our own brains, but Torah is also meant to forge and to shape and to mold our brains according to the manner of the Torah. One of the reasons, perhaps, piggybacking on Rav Shamsher and Rufal Hirsch, one of the reasons why we don't find anywhere in Torah Shebichsav the date to celebrate the giving of the Torah is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to remind us that true celebration of the Torah can exist only through Torah Sheba'al Peh. If it's only Torah Shebichsav, then it's God's word, and yes, we have reverence of it, and we have fear and trepidation whenever we engage in Hashem's words. This is what Hashem demands of us. We have to obey 100%, absolutely. But it's not a relationship. And it's difficult to celebrate. It's difficult to feel great and to feel wonderful about something that is just being imposed, but it's not a relationship. Torah Sheba'al Peh is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu invites us into the picture. He invites us into the fold. He invites us into the story. He says, I want you to process this. I want you to make this meaningful to you. However, when we have a bit of Torah that's very, very difficult to understand, it's an invitation. It's an invitation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making, saying, I want you to have buy-in. I want you to have ownership over this process. Understand it. Understand it. Make it relevant to you. If it's not yet clear, make it clear. Make it understandable. Make it relevant. Find a way to make it click inside of your own brains. It's an invitation that he invites us to participate with him in his Torah. It's an absolutely remarkable thing. We would think that Torah, that the Dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem, would simply be Hashem's words imposed upon us. Hashem says absolutely not. It's a conversation. It's a relationship. There's a back and forth. There's a masa umatan. There's a shakla vetaria. Not only am I going to tell you what I want of you, but you're going to respond in Torah, trying to interpret it and understand it according to the way that your brains are mapped, that your seichel is wired. It's difficult. It's challenging, but it's also a huge opportunity. What an invitation for us to actually partner, for us to actually come into this interchange between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is inviting us to come and partner with him in his Torah, in the way that his Torah is meant to be learned, and the way that his Torah is meant to be lived. As difficult as we can sometimes find it, however, let's never, never forget what an enormous opportunity it is to also be able to learn Torah together, particularly Torah Sheba'al Peh.